Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Now, one of the first actions taken by Frances Fitzgerald when she succeeded Alan Shatter at the Department of Justice was to establish an independent review mechanism into the allegations of Garda corruption made to government. Those making the allegations believed that they would meet with the barristers conducting the review and that they'd be able to present their grievances. But as Drive Time has learned, they now fear the assessment will be a paper-only exercise. Philip Boucher-Hayes has been hearing their concerns. What has happened, Philip?
As you know, Mary, a number of very serious allegations of Garda corruption or inadequacy of Garda investigations have been made to government. Allegations that involve the possibility of wrongful deaths, of cover-up, of failure to investigate crimes, even of possible Garda brutality. So Frances Fitzgerald set up a panel of barristers, seven in all, who are going to look at these cases and make recommendations in each case to the minister on what should be done. The minister said on the record that the people who had made the allegations of the victims of the alleged crimes would be met and that their claims would actually be heard. But the letters that these people have just received from the department makes it clear now that the review is going to be a paper exercise, that they're not going to be talked to. And the difficulty that one family that I've been talking to has with this is that they're not going to be there to make their case and that they are worried about what it is, what papers it is will be in the file that is sent to these barristers and what papers won't be in the file and whether the consideration of the case is complete or not.
Can you tell us which family is involved here?
I can indeed. The family of Shane Toohey from Clara, County Offaly. Shane's body was found in 2002 in the River Brosna following a night out with some friends. And the Gardaí were swift back then to conclude that Shane had killed himself, but there was a lot of evidence pointing towards the possibility of foul play that wasn't considered by the Gardaí in a timely fashion. So Shane's family are worried now that if they're not interviewed by the independent review mechanism, what comes out of that might end up being very partial or a very self-serving version of events for the Gardaí, because the Gardaí file, in their case, they believe, is by no means the totality of evidence that should be considered in this particular case. It's one that we investigated on this programme about 8 years ago. And following our investigation, the then Garda Commissioner admitted to me that their handling of the case had been unprofessional, but then they reinvestigated the case and they stood by their original conclusion that Shane had committed suicide. The Toohey family have maintained their belief, though, that the facts point in a very different direction that the Gardaí are not willing to look in. And if we look back now on this programme's own investigation from 8 years ago, you can see why they would have their reservations about a process that doesn't interview them. This is the River Brosna running through the village of Clara in County Offaly. It was here, 1 week after Shane disappeared after a night out with friends, that his brother pulled him out of the water with a grappling hook. The official verdict was swiftly reached: suicide or accidental death. Both the Gardaí and a coroner's inquest ruled out foul play. But Shane's family and friends suspected otherwise. For months before his disappearance, Shane had been the subject of bullying.
He came in and said, "You shut your mouth and don't be starting."
This is one of these guys said to Shane?
Yeah, "Don't be starting," or something like that. And Shane never really said anything.
So you didn't see this because you were inside a cubicle, were you?
I was inside a cubicle, yeah. And on the way out, he just turned around and said, you fuck off or mind your business or something like that, you know.
Shane was last seen at 4:20 in the morning. He was trying to get a lift in a taxi. One of the passengers in that taxi was the same person who was overheard threatening Shane earlier that evening. He never came home. Within 24 hours, the Toohey family raised the alarm. The search for Shane concentrated on ditches and hedges on his likely route home and here along the banks of the River Brosna. As the search was getting underway on the Monday morning, Shane's father, Eamon Toohey, talked to another passenger in that taxi that Shane had tried to get a lift from.
The first thing he said to me, Eamon, he said, He said, I done nothing to your son. I done nothing to Shane. He said it was naming another man who was there on the night. And he said it was him that, he said, and I said, what did he do to him? Well, he said, when I came out and got into the back of the car, he said, Shane went around to the passenger's door of the car. He said he held his head down as if he was going to ask the driver of the car or something. He said the other man who was sitting in the passenger seat, he said, got the door of the car, opened it out, hit Shane on the head with it and drove him back against the wall.
Crucially, Eamon's allegation is corroborated. His other son, Edwin, phoned this man the following day and asked him what had happened when Shane had tried to get a lift.
He proceeded to tell me what he knew. This other person in the front of the car opened the door abruptly and hit him on the head, knocked him back towards the wall over the path, and proceeded to get out after him, shouting or saying, I fucking told you weren't getting a lift home with us.
Edwin conducted this entire conversation on speakerphone in the presence of another family friend, Elton Delaney. Elton has told me exactly the same thing as Eamon and Edwin relate about this assault on Shane Toohey.
That's exactly what I heard, and that's what I told the guards when they brought me in to question me about that, but that's all they questioned me about, just what did I hear, and that was it.
Gardaí did not get a detailed statement from Shane's alleged assailant until 6 months later. In that statement, he denied that he had assaulted Shane. In his statement to the Gardaí, the man who Eamon, Edwin and Elton claim had witnessed the assault, also denied that there had been any assault on Shane.
My friend was getting into the front of the car when Shane came round to the passenger side. My friend said, Shane, we're not bringing you, or words to that effect. Shane threw his hands up in the air and walked off. My friend did not hit Shane either with his fist or the door of the car.
Having heard the initial claim that Shane had been assaulted, Eamon Toohey went straight to the Gardaí. He reported what he had heard, but the Gardaí investigation appears to have made very different conclusions about what might have happened to Shane Toohey. They appear to have discounted the assault and were investigating suicide as their sole line of inquiry. As the search party was gathering, up to 25 witnesses heard the investigating Gardaí voice their conclusions.
The guard got over it and he was walking through the crowd and he says, this man was very drunk, he said. It looks like suicide, he said.
The guard who made this observation to nobody in particular but everybody present was the same guard to whom the allegation of assault on Shane had been made just 24 hours earlier. The Gardaí also presented their suicide theory to the former state pathologist John Harbison. They don't appear to have reported the allegation of assault or the possibility of a head injury to him, though. This observation was in his autopsy notes.
There was sketchy but unconfirmed evidence that the deceased may have suggested self-destruction on a previous occasion or occasions.
The suicide theory was supported with evidence in the form of an unsigned statement from a woman Gardaí say was Shane's girlfriend.
While going out with Shane, I found him to be very moody. Sometimes he'd hardly talk at all and say that he wanted to be left alone. I would do this for him. Very regularly, he would mention that he was going to commit suicide, that he was going to kill himself. He never said how or for what reason.
Shane's family say, though, that this woman was not his girlfriend and she would have known nothing of his state of mind. Her brother, voiced here by an actor, has told me the same thing and added that she is an alcoholic and would be at best a poor witness.
Well, like, in my personal opinion, Geraldine would be in a fit state to give evidence anywhere. Do you know, like, and I had made that specifically clear at the time that Geraldine doesn't keep the same frame of mind as a normal person would. You know, like, she Geraldine would say things that she doesn't really mean. That's Geraldine. That's just the way she is.
On the day of the inquest, she withdrew her entire statement. There was now no supportive evidence for the suicide theory believed by Gardaí. Solicitor Mark Cooney represented Shane's family at the time.
Obviously, if Shane Toohey had died as a result of suicide, then there was no need for further complicated Gardaí investigation. And presumably the Gardaí were quite happy to have taken that statement. How it came about, I'm unsure. I'm not sure.
Because everything was refuted.
In effect, yes.
So everything came down to the forensic evidence, of which there was none because the Gardaí had not preserved the scene where Shane's body was found, leaving only the autopsy results. John Harbison believed, despite the absence of water from Shane's lungs, that Shane had drowned.
The finding of traces of froth in mouth and airways, along with overinflated state of both lungs, which had a crepitant feel, indicating air trapping in the outer airways, was quite typical of drowning. My conclusion, therefore, is that this man died of drowning and showed no evidence of any assault prior to his death or entry into the river.
The current state pathologist, Mary Cassidy, supports John Harbison's view. But in the United States, a state pathologist called Kim Collins reviewed the file and reached a very different view.
As a medical doctor trained and experienced in forensic pathology and in drowning deaths, it is my opinion that this death is likely one involving foul play. Based on the historical findings, review of the medical records and past history, witness statements, gross and microscopic autopsy findings, and the toxicology, it is my opinion that the manner of death of Shane Toohey is indeed a homicide.
Separately and independently, the state pathologist for Kentucky, Greg Davis, looked at the file and took a similar view to Kim Collins.
In my opinion, enough inconsistencies in witness statements and the circumstances surrounding death indicate to this forensic pathologist that the case should remain open with a manner of death of undetermined with a strong likelihood of homicide.
But the jury at the inquest were not presented with any of this evidence pointing to a possible homicide. I spoke to one of those jurors who told me it only took them 5 minutes deliberation to reach a verdict.
We went in for about 4 to 5 minutes and we all had the same opinion. Opinion that the lad died from freshwater drowning.
And this was on the basis of what Dr. Harbison said?
Correct.
And that was really all that you considered was Dr. Harbison's evidence?
That's all. Dr. Harbison's evidence we went by.
What most troubles the Toohey family now, Mary, is that while the Garda investigation is the allegation of assault could, in the words of the then Garda commissioner, have been more professional and was, in their opinion, never investigated properly for whatever reason, that stands in very much marked contrast to the treatment that Eamon Toohey received subsequently. Following an angry exchange with Gardaí, in which he said that if they didn't do something about his son's death, he would go and kill the suspect himself, he ended up being prosecuted. The Gardaí took his words, which he says that he regrets now and were very ill-judged, as evidence of a crime under Section 5 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act, and he was convicted, and he got a 5-year sentence, which was suspended. So, back to the very beginning of this, given their antagonism with the Gardaí and with the Department of Justice, they say that they can have very little faith in a review mechanism that doesn't at the very least hear from them. And as you can see how in their case, a review that doesn't also consider the reports of the two independent pathologists that we heard from there that suggested the possibility that Shane was murdered. It would be a very, very incomplete review if their paperwork wasn't also submitted.
Anything more from the Department of Justice on the nature of this review and how it's going to be conducted?
They have just confirmed to me in the last half an hour that it is to be a paper-only review, which is in complete contrast or contradiction indeed to what the minister actually said on the day that she announced it, when she promised that they would actually be interviewed.
Philip Boucher-Hayes, thank you.